Are you ready? We're on a boat.
We're on a boat.
Daniel, we're streaming straight out of Compton. Are you ready? Today, 6:45. Yes. No. 6. No. I'm sorry.
What's it? Okay.
Rabbi Yisrael ben Nachas. 6.
Happening tonight. 5:45.
Guys, we're on a boat. 900 million. We're on a boat.
Titanic.
What?
Titanic.
No Titanic for us, buddy. We're on a boat.
The golf tonic.
What?
Golf tonic.
We're on a boat. Chaim, you're on a boat? You're on the boat?
Always on
the
boat.
Are you on the boat?
I'm in the water already.
You're sailing? Wonderful. So, Torah Lamed Chet. Sweet Rabbeinu HaKadosh is teaching us to watch our mouths. L'petach hatat rovetz. That the sin is waiting, that the person, chas shalom, gonna make mistakes with his mouth. And like that we learned yesterday on the purity of the mouth, Kedushat HaPeh, Kedushat HaEinayim. Brit HaMa'or v'Brit HaLashon. There are two covenants. One is the holiness of the Brit, and one is the covenant of the mouth. It's the Brit HaMa'or v'Brit HaLashon, because that depends in that. Like we said yesterday, if you pray, you're going to become to be holy. Asher ki deshanu b'mitzvotav. HaKadosh Baruch Hu makes us holy with His mitzvot. And the main mitzvah, how are we going to know what's the main mitzvah? First of all, we're going to see what all of our ancestors done. They were praying. That's for sure. You know, Abraham established Acharit, Yitzchak established Mincha, Yaakov established Ma'ariv. And we know that David HaMelech, he brought to us all of that concept of the Book of Tehillim. Moshe Rabbeinu was praying, was master of prayer. He was praying to Hashem Yitzbarach. Always talking. That is the art of our ancestors. When they're holding the art, the tool, the weapon of their ancestors in their hands, it means they're praying. Am Yisrael are praying. And also that came Chavakuk, Be'emidan Alachat, Chavakuk, it's Chabad, Breslev Kuk. All of the groups of Am Yisrael, Bachavakuk, all of the Chabadnikim, the Breslever, the Kuk, the Mizruchniks are coming, everyone together. Ma'amidim, establishing all of the Torah and mitzvot on one. What is that one? V'tzadik be'emunato yichye. A righteous man gonna live according to the faith that he got. And on Moshe Rabbeinu it's written, v'yi adav emunah, that when his hands were full with faith, so the translation, the Targum over there is saying, perisan betzlo. He was opening his arms in prayers. He was praying to Hashem. Emunah is prayer. When you have faith, you talk to Hashem. When you talk to Hashem, it shows that you believe in Hashem. If you don't talk to Him, it means you don't believe that He can help you. You don't count on Him. You have a problem. If you came to Hashem, you believe that Hashem can help you. If you didn't came to Hashem, it means that you thought that someone else can help you, or that there is no one there that can help you, or whatever. You don't have faith. Faith means tefillah. So, when you pray, you keep the Torah. Because Torah without Tfilah, it's like, it's nothing. You don't have nothing. Am Yisrael received the Torah, and they received the obligation of prayers also. This is why in the morning you start your day with Tfilah, and you finish the day with Tfilah. You start with Modeh Ani Lefanecha, you're thanking Hashem, and before you go to sleep, you say, Kiyat Shema Shalom Itai, and after it you're not allowed nothing else. And during the day also, you're commanded to learn Torah all day long, but you have to stop. To pray Shacharit, you have to stop. To pray Mincha, you have to stop. You have to break. Why you have to break the Seder of Limud HaTorah? Let's say that the Torah is going to bring us to life. The Torah, המאור שבא, מחזיר את האדם למותיו, the light that the Torah contains, can bring the person to be a good person, to fix him, to work on his midot, whatever. The Torah got the light. So why I need to break it? Because Torah without humility just going to bring you to be arrogant. And by learning Torah without filah, you're going to become to be arrogant. Because the Torah is going to fill you with success and with pleasure, and you're going to see that you learn more and you purchase knowledge and you succeed and you know more things and you become to be spiritual and you have a lot of wisdom, a lot of talents and a lot of abilities, a lot of powers you found from the Torah. But you lost one thing. What you lost? Humility. And when you pray Shmona Esre, when you daven, when you stand in front of Hashem, so first of all you say Hashem, Sfatai Tiftach, you realize back again, I'm not even able to open my mouth if Hashem will not going to help me. And then you start blessing Hashem Yitbarach with all of the brachot. And by saying those brachot, you bring that awareness back. You open your own eyes to remember that Hashem, He is our God. He is the one that heals us. He is the one that saves us, that redeems us, that gives us the parnasah, that gives us the power. He is the one that is going to save us in the future. And He and He and He and He. All of that you purchase when you pray, not when you learn. Because when you learn to achieve the limud, you need to be concentrated. You have to be concentrated. Focused. You need to be focused. You need to be focused. You need to be focused in the limud. So if you focus in the limud, you forget from the world. You forget everything. Your mind is inside the Torah, so you forget. But if it's hard for you that you forgot Hashem, so you can do a little bit of it during the limud. If it's hard for you that you forgot Hashem, you sit in the yeshiva, one page, two pages, you sit in a class, you learn Torah, your brain is full with Torah, full with halachot. If you're close to Hashem, after 1 hour like that, you feel far from Hashem. You feel distance from Hashem Yitbarach. In the Bet Midrash, when it's written, Moshcheu leBet HaMidrash, you need to put Hashem into Bet HaMidrash. Who is that enemy that we have? Our enemy, it's only Hashem. You have enemy, you have someone in the world. You have only Hashem, Enod Milvado. You have an enemy, you have someone that stops you in your life. Who is that one that stops you? It's Hashem Yitbarach. Hashem, you're holding me back. Hashem, you don't let me to have what that I want, what that I'm asking. You haven't answered all of my prayers yet. You're my enemy. The enemies of the person, it's the people of his house, it's his family, it can be his wife. Who is your wife? Your wife is Hashem. Zachu Shechina Benem, it's a Shechina Kedosha. So you need to bring Hashem Yitbarach into Beit HaMikdash. What it means, you need to bring faith into the Limud. Because if you learn and Hashem Yitbarach is not there, so also the Torah will not going to bring you to life, will not going to bring you to the right conclusion. So this is why Nechuniah ben Akana taught us that we have to prepare ourselves before of the limud with a tefillah ksara to pray, please Ribono Shel Olam, help me that I won't have no mistakes, nothing wrong going to happen by me, that the limud is going to illuminate my eyes, that I'm going to get closer to you through the limud, that I'm going to learn Torah Lishma. If a person learns Torah Lishma, so it brings him to do tshuva, zocheh ledvarim arbe. The limud brings him to talk a lot of words of Torah and of tefillah with Hashem Yitbarach. But if you see that you learn and learn and learn and it's not bringing you to do tshuva, to look at yourself, so it means that you haven't purchased the Torah. Because you received the Torah mimidbar matana, as a free gift from the desert. Midbar, it's the letters of the word medaber. When you medaber, when you talk, when you pray, you feel like the desert. You're humble. Am Israel received the Torah in the desert. When they know that they are dry, when they know that they don't have no powers, that they cannot save themselves, that there are bears and lions and the sun and no water, and they're dead, then they can receive the Torah as a free gift. So when you come to that place that you know for sure that it's a free gift, whatever you receive from Hashem Yitbarach, all of the Torah, you remember. You give the wisdom, not my limud give me the wisdom. You, I can learn and stay stupid, stay dumb, even though that I know all shas, I learn, finish all shas. And you see a person, arrogant, cannot talk to people, argue with everyone, fighting, answering back. He's a talkback machine. He cannot listen. He doesn't have the ears to hear nothing. So all of his emunat chachamim, faith in wise people that depends in the ears that he's going to be able to listen, is dead. So he doesn't believe in chachamim. He just wants to show his wisdom. Rabbeinu is saying that that's Esav. Rabbeinu is saying that Esav also had a beard and peot, and he was sitting with a sender in the Beit HaMidrash learning Torah. Think that the son of Yitzchak wasn't sitting and learning Torah. He was. He was. But still, he was Esav. There are a lot of Esavim like those. A lot of Esavim sitting in the Beit HaMidrash, and he's Esav. He wants everyone to know that he is genius, that he is wise, that he is intelligent, that he knows all, that he's Baki in all of the books, in the Shas, Yerushalmi, he knows Talmud Yerushalmi, he knows Zohar, Mishpatim, and he's learning for that. He makes the Torah Kardom Lachpor Bo. So what are you doing? It's not a limud. Kol alomed Torah lishma, a person that really learns Torah for Hashem Yitbarach, so hu zoche ledvarim arbe, zoche it mezakech, he's purifying himself. How you can purify yourself? Rabbeinu is telling us in Torah 59 that the only way to purify yourself, if you've been contaminated in fire, you need to purify yourself in fire. Which fire? It's the fire of tshuva. That's the fire of tshuva, that you confess. And Rabbeinu asks, Rabbi Natan, when you stand in front of Hashem Yitbarach, you become to be red from shame. You blush, you say, masmik, you blush when you stand in front of Hashem. That is tshuva. That you're ashamed. And that tshuva comes from busha. That shame, busha, is the letters of tshuva. That you come back. That you came back. When you're embarrassed. When you're ashamed of yourself. When you stand in front of Hashem Yitbarach and you feel disgrace. You feel empty. After the limud, can you feel empty? If you don't have tefillah, you cannot feel empty. You feel full. You're full. Beten mele'ah b'shas. Your stomach is full with shas and poskim. Now you're 40. You can learn Kabbalah. Numeral value of the word Kabbalah is ni'uf. Last for women. Instead of being mekubal, a holy mekubal, you can become to be a no'ef. By the limud, what it means no'ef? What is last for women? It's a selfish will to receive pleasure for yourself. This is what that he wants. I'm on a boat. This is it. I'm on a boat. Everyone on the boat. Everyone are happy. This is it. Last for women. He wants to lie on his back, to enjoy the sun, to enjoy all of what the world have to offer him. That's the Avat Niyot. So the opposite from it, it's the holiness, the purity, it calls mitzvat ona. That you're able to force yourself to do the same act, but not for your own pleasure at all. Just for her. And you're not thinking about yourself at all. For you, it's like they forced you, mamash, a demon forced you to do that mitzvah, to keep that mitzvah. You don't have no selfish will to receive no pleasure, no satisfaction. And I'm talking to you, and I'm going to keep on talking to you about 100%. Not 99%. Rav Shalom once told us a story that he heard from Rav Ovadia Yosef. They told him that from a certain midrash, I don't remember. He said there was a king that he had a friend that was also a king, and that king, the other king, wanted to give a big gift to his friend, the king of that city. And he thought to himself, what am I going to give him? Good stones, diamonds, money, honor. He's got everything. He doesn't need nothing from me. He's bigger than me, greater than me. What can I give him? He's got everything. So he thought to himself, I'll look for something that that king doesn't have. And I'm going to give him that thing. And he looked, investigated, sent messengers to that kingdom. And he saw that in that kingdom, there are no lions. So he sent his people to find a lion cub, a baby cub like that, a sweet one, a nice one. Put him in a golden cage and send it to the king. That king received that cub, and he loved it, and he was so happy, he was amazed, look at that, such important animal, the king of the lion, all of the animals, and they built a huge a cage in the center of the city, of the capital city, of that kingdom, and they put the lion, and the lion becomes to be the symbol of that kingship, of that kingdom, of that king. And Baruch Hashem, they were taking care of him, giving him meat to eat every day, and everyone would look at that lion, and they were all very happy. One day, the trainer forgot to lock the gate at night. And the lion went out from the cage, and he's running, and hunting, and ruin, and everyone afraid, and locking themselves in the apart doors, in the houses. So the soldiers of the king, they're saying, okay, so the general called everyone, all of the soldiers, the CIA, the FBI, everyone came, sitting all together, a secret, what are we doing? We need to catch that lion, but we're not allowed to hurt him. If we're going to hurt it, that lion, so we ruin the symbol of our kingdom. We cannot do something so horrible, we're going to make the king sorry. What are we going to do? So the general, then the sheriff, he's asking everyone, who from those warriors, from the soldiers, is able to go and to bring the lion without hurting him at all? No one could say, I'm able. No one, everyone, you have to throw some, even not to lose one hair, nothing, no scratch, even a net can damage, something can happen, he can hurt himself, you don't know what can be. So he said, okay, if you're not able, I'm going to send my son. And he calls his son, he's whistling, the son, 14 years old, running with his shorts and gufiya, coming, how do you say gufiya? T-shirt, he's coming, all young and 14 years old, in good shape, preparing himself for the IDF, mamash, for the basic training. Then he's telling him, Kadima, go, bring the lion. So that kid, 14 years old, running, after half an hour, he's coming with the lion on his shoulder, putting him back in his cage, locking the door, no scratch, nothing. Everyone are in shock, everyone amazed. Wow, look, amazing, the king is declaring a party, a hilula, everyone are welcome, invited to the 1 week party, they brought back the lion, everyone are happy, drinking, eating, wonderful feast. So now, during that feast, the king is calling the general, tells him, I want to respect, I want to honor, to give a gift to the warrior that brought the lion with no scratch. Send him, bring him over. So, that father, whistling, calling that kid, 14-year-old kid, to go up the stage to shake the hand of the king. So he's putting one leg, that kid, 14-year-old, putting one leg on the first step. His father is stopping him, putting his hand on his shoulder. Told him, what you have in your arm? So you see the kid take his head down. He's embarrassed. So his father is squeezing his shoulder, tells him, what you have in your arm? So he's showing him the arm, he's got a scratch. So the father tells the son, where you got that scratch from? You see the kid become changing colors, red, blue, pink, white, mommy, don't know what to say. The father is squeezing, pushing stronger, where you got that scratch? Tells him, from the lion. He said, from the lion? He said, from the lion. Bah! The father slapped his son. Bah! The kid is flying in the air like the wind. Crash on the ground. So the king is calling the general. Tells him, come. He's climbing fast. Yes, my lord, how can I help you? He said, what are you doing? He said, my kid, he got a scratch from the lion. He said, so what? He said, no, I'm sorry. The king, I do respect you, but there are things that you don't know. It's okay, trust me, he needs to be punished. I said, why? A 14-year-old kid, doing it all alone, something that all of the secret agents couldn't do. Only he could do it, all of the warriors, no one could bring the lion. And your kid, with bare hands, went, brought the lion, one scratch on his arm, you don't respect him. He told him, listen, the king, I do respect you, but there are things that you don't know. What can I say? Please tell me. Okay. I'm sorry to say, but before that I came to be your general here, in charge of the army, I was a robber. We had a group of robbers, and we were going and robbing people in the in the ways, in the fields, in the forests. We were hunting them and jumping on them and taking their money and killing everyone. And that was my profession. And no one could beat us. We were the strongest, we were the best. No one could win us. One day we came to an intersection and we see another group of robbers standing in front of us. So we told them, move away, or that we fight with you. And they said no. So they decide to fight those two groups. That general is telling the king, for 2 weeks we were fighting in that intersection. Fighting and fighting, and we're equal. No one is dead, no one is wounded, equal powers. After 2 weeks we were very tired. We said we have to stop. We have to come to a decision. What are we doing with that battle, with that war? So we came to a conclusion that all of the warriors are going to stand in the sides, and the leader of our group, that it was me, going to fight with the leader of the second group, and the one that's going to win, the rest of the group is going to follow him. We're going to join the groups. We're going to make them a team, one team. Wonderful. And me and the other warrior from the other group, the leader, we were fighting for another 2 weeks. And we're fighting and we're equal. And no one can win. After 2 weeks, we stopped. Said, we have to do something. We have to think. What's the solution? And while we're resting like that, the other leader takes off his mask and we see that it was a woman. So then the answer was obvious, that we need to get married. And this is it. I was single. She was single. And he says, and that kid that you see, that is our child. And a child that came from two heroes like us, like my wife and I, this is something that is not allowed even to have a scratch from a lion. That story Rav Ovadia Yosef told Rav Shalom. Wow. And the Musar Eskel, the understanding from all of that is, we are coming from our ancestors, from Abraham, Yitzchak, Yaakov. And all of your downs, and all of your sadnesses, and all of your weaknesses, and all of your despair, you need to be slapped on that. Because you have powers that are coming from those heroes that are your ancestors. You have powers of Abraham Avinu inside of you. You have powers of Rachel Imenu, of Yitzhak Avinu, of Rivka, of Sarah, of Yaakov, of Leah. It's inside of you, of all of the righteous people that are our fathers and our mothers. And Hashem remembers all of the kindness of our ancestors. Zocher Chasdei Avot. And all of that merit, all of that Limud Torah, and all of the prayers, and all of the effort, and all of the, what did they sacrifice during their lives and their death, is hanging above our heads and waiting. It's waiting that we're going to believe in ourselves and going to go with the powers that we have inside to conquer the world, to bring the Geulah, the complete Geulah, Geulah Shlema, to all of Am Yisrael. You need to believe in yourself, to know who you are, to believe that you have roots that are coming from Mount Sinai, that you're a chosen nation, that Hashem chosen us from all of the nations, v'paskazo amatenu, and He stopped our contamination. This is it. We're pure. You have a pure soul inside of you, something that people outside don't have. You have goodwill. You're able to be Lashem Shamayim, totally aimed to Hashem, with no foreign thoughts at all. All of the sadnesses and the confusions, it's poison that is coming from the nations. It's their poison. They don't believe in themselves because they don't have on what? They don't have our ancestors. They don't have our holy roots. They don't have that guiding. They never been to Beit HaMikdash. They never saw Ma'amad Har Sinai. They never received the Torah. They never talked to Hashem Yitbarach face to face. They can quote Yishayahu HaNavi, they can quote Yirmiyahu HaNavi, they can quote Zechariah HaNavi. All of them were Jewish. All of them were our brothers. It can be that you're from the seed of one of those prophets. They can quote them, and you can follow in their footsteps. Really, to become, to be like them. when Yeshua is coming to Moshe Rabbeinu and tells him there are prophets in the camp of Am Yisrael, people are receiving prophecy from Hashem Yitbarach, mitnabim, Moshe Rabbeinu tells him, I wish all of Am Yisrael going to be prophets. Do I have some competition with someone? I wish they're all going to be prophets. Means that all of Am Yisrael are able to become to be prophets. מה שראתה שפחה על הים, what the woman slave, how do you say שפחה? A woman slave?
Maid servant.
Saw on the sea, when the sea been opened, is more than what that Yechezkel ben Buzi saw. The biggest prophet, Yechezkel, that saw the throne of honor. He saw Shem Yitbarach sits on his throne of honor and leads the world. He saw sights that no one else saw before. And the smallest person in Israel, when we cross the sea, so more than that, it means that you have that in your abilities. Just when you're not focusing on something, when you don't believe that you have it, if you don't believe that your glasses can be in that drawer, in that closet, and on that, you will never going to look for them over there, because you don't believe that it's there. It cannot be. I searched that table. I looked on that table for 7 times already. You are not going to go to that room. I checked that room already. If you know that it's not there, so you're not going to check. When you don't believe in yourself, you don't even check what you have. You don't even check what's your abilities, what you're able to achieve. People are going to look for their souls in India, doing vipassana, fasting, and taking drugs and I don't know what to find themselves. You don't need to go to all of those places to find who that you are inside. Do the same things here. Go to a quiet place, close your eyes and talk to the one that creates you. The priest Philip is telling on how that he came to that understanding that the Torah is truth, that the Judaism is truth. How he came to that? He went alone to the forest, to the woods. This is how he's telling his story. Mm-hmm. He went to the forest alone. And he decided to fast. And for 3 days he didn't eat and he didn't drink. Nothing. After 3 days he started to see things. You think that if you sacrifice yourself, and he was just asking from the Creator, reveal yourself to me, I want the truth, I want the truth. Everyone that's going to hear him, how he's telling his life story, going to be amazed. I had the Mary to translate his explanation to Rav Shalom's class that he gave in Bat Yam once. So I heard it mamash from his mouth. You hear the story? A person is an non-Jew from South Africa that wanted the truth. And after 3 days of fast and he'd bought a dude in the forest alone, this is what he knew. To get close to the Creator, you need to fast. This is what did he know. That was his education. And to talk to the Creator, it was simple for him, for sure. It's simple. Everyone with deep thinking, he will, a little bit, just thinking, how I'm going to meet Hashem? What should I? You pray. Everyone knows it, but no one do it. Everyone knows, that's the answer. But people have obstacles, and many are difficult to because Yetzirah don't want you to succeed. But in the moment that you're going to go and commit yourself to Hashem and just going to go and talk to Hashem, you're going to meet Hashem. Because Hashem is close. Karov Hashem lechol korav. Hashem is close to everyone that calls Him. To everyone that calls Him with truth. When priest Philip went to call Hashem Yitbarach with truth, and he went and he talked and he screamed for 3 days. After 3 days, he saw prophecies. He heard voice and he had an angel that was guiding him. So one person immediately can say no in imagination. Someone else is going to say no, he's not a Jew, he's not qualified to receive prophecy. Go and see what that he's doing in the world. He's doing distribution that is bigger than us. He's buying thousands of books and he's teaching his followers, all of his students, to go to do Itbodadut. He's doing 2 hours Itbodadut every day. And he's not Jewish. He loves Am Yisrael and he's going every day to do 1 hour in the morning, 1 hour in the evening, and he's talking to the Creator and he teaches all of his students to talk to the Creator and they're all reading Rav Shalom's books. Thousands of people! Thousands of people! And they're making sadnaot. I say sadnaot. People
workshops.
Workshops of faith. People are coming to learn how to do it, but they do it, how to talk to the Creator. Rav Shalom said, I saw children, 11 years old, 12 years old, standing for 1 hour, 2 hours, close to a tree in the forest, talking to the Creator, doing it, but they do it. He said, I felt ashamed. Felt busha. Our children, it's hard for them to do it, but they do it. You see, it's a natural thing. To talk to Hashem, it's a natural thing. You need to believe in yourself that you're able to grow, to develop, to reach, to achieve big things in your life. It's not a dream, it's reality. You need to focus. You need to believe in yourself and to go with it. To believe in yourself and to go with it to success. Thank you.